Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. Really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Now, those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Monday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. The crisp crack of Joe's brew. And damn, I just thought of this. Hold on. Yeah, I'm gonna have to make a pit stop at some point. I have no cold ones in the fridge over here. So I might have to go to the fridge out there. But that's okay. Yeah, I know. And I just talked about prepping for 20 minutes and how prepared I was because Joe comes here. And everything is on mute and crackling because he's got a headset from Ollie's, the same place he got his screw gun. So I will say,
ridiculous.
I will say though, it is good to be back. Did you guys miss us? I didn't think so.
Oh man. I missed you so much, man.
I missed you. Well, Joe and I still talk, so that doesn't count, but
no.
We were going to do this last night, and it just didn't work out, mostly because, I mean, well, the All-Star race was on. That was my excuse. So we pushed it to today, which is fine, because there's a little bit of extra news today. I do want to give Craig from Oneida a shout-out. He gave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts as a rating, and he says, "My only complaint is that Joe is drinking cheap beer. Love the show." So I get it. Joe drinks cheap beer. He's on a budget. It's okay. It's okay. But I hear you. So anyways, we're back. We got some lacrosse news. As if you've been living under a cave, you know that that's going around and been going around for quite some time. And then
we've
got a little tiny bit of basketball news and some more stuff is coming out about college football and Syracuse in general. So we'll get to as much of that as we can. But first, all of our sponsors left us. I think it's us, Joe, but that's okay. It's actually not, but that's fine. We do, however, have a sponsor. I'm pulling it up. Hey, the Locker Room app. So the Locker Room app, if you did not know, I think it was bought out by Spotify, by the way. And they basically are revamping this thing. I think they are going to be relaunching the actual app here soon. And if you have not downloaded the app, go ahead, download the app, the Locker Room app, and you can sign up. All it takes is your email address and a name. And I actually had some people DM us and email saying they couldn't find us. I know there was a couple of you on there, but you have to actually search Sean space Cuse Militia. Like, Cuse Militia is my last name. Why? I don't know, but I figured that out. Actually, figured that out on Saturday night. So, anyways, we are going to use that as our live platform for live portions of the show for you to call in. And you can get on there. You can do your own thing. You can go live yourself, too. You don't got to listen to us.
Sure.
I don't want to blame you. But it's going to be what we use when we go live and we do fan feedback come game time and whenever convenient. So go there. Download the app today from the iTunes Store, iOS, or Android, and sign up. Find us. Follow us, as they say. So, the locker room app. All right. So, let's get right into this. Now, it has been a while since we've been here. It's been 3 weeks, and that's totally uncalled for and unnecessary, and quite honestly, it's irresponsible. But, you know, the weather's breaking. There's things to do. So if you didn't know already,
been busy.
Desco, he announced his retirement after 41 years in Syracuse lacrosse program as a player. Well, 46 as a player and a coach, assistant head coach, and of course, head coach. He was part of all 11 championships throughout his playing and coaching career. Five of them solely as head coach, 12 Final Four appearances, and a winning percentage of 75%, total in 258, which is amazing. So a legend going out, a legend coming in. He's going to be replaced by none other than Gary Gate, who spent 14 years coaching the women's lacrosse team. He's done a masterful job there, a winning percentage in his own right of 74%. Mm-hmm. And he finishes 213-75, according to Mike McAllister of Syracuse SI. He led the Orange Ladies to 8 Final Fours and 3 national championship games, the last one, of course, that we just watched a couple weeks ago, where they fell to Boston College. So he's going to come in, and like I said, Joe, you've got to be really, you know, this is something that I don't think a lot of Syracuse fans take for granted, but I do think that it is a thing that is taken for granted, and that is to be removing a legend in replacing him with a legend, Syracuse lifers in lacrosse, and just the whole tenure of Syracuse lacrosse has been legendary. I mean, let's be honest. Right. So, you know, Gary Gates already got 14 years as a head coach, coaching the women. He's been very successful there. He was just short of winning a championship, but we'll talk in a second about what he's putting together, but just speak on, you know, how lucky we are to have such talent in the queue to take this over.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if that was his plan all along, right?
You got to imagine at this point.
Sure, he could have gotten another job somewhere else, right? So sure. He built our women's program up, and, you know, it was time. People were calling for him, and, you know, it wasn't the best appearance in the NCAA tournament this year. And, you know, I think that it was just a kind of a seamless transition, although it's going to be a lot different lacrosse. You know, I wish I could speak a lot more on that, but from what I understand, like you said, some of the things that he's bringing in, you know, the coach he brought in to help him, I think kind of gives you a big view of the fact that he's coming in to really help that offense and, you know, get that back. Well, it's usually pretty good anyway, but, you know, just keep the offense going. But, you know, his hire really was for the defensive side, which we were where we struggled.
Dave Pietramala, he joined the Syracuse men's lacrosse staff apparently today. And according to Mike McAllister, again, he was defensive coordinator at John Hopkins for a couple years, 3 years, 95, 96, and 97. The head coach at Cornell from.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
from 98 to 2000, and then the head coach of John Hopkins from 01 to 2020. So he actually brings a couple other things possibly with him. He's got twin boys, who one of which who's a five-star recruit and a number two player in the class of 2022, Dom Pietramala, and he's got a brother, Nicholas. Both are currently committed to North Carolina, which is a slight conflict of interest. And so you got to imagine Syracuse is going to try to flip that. I don't see how it doesn't happen, but and nothing's guaranteed, right?
No, you have to understand, too, Syracuse did recruit these guys prior to.
Fair enough, okay.
Prior to. You
but know, they both just committed to North Carolina. Twins both committed to going to the same school.
Yes, yes.
That's a package deal,
like
then, right
said,
there.
Dominic, number two in the class, is an attack. Nicholas is a defenseman, just like his father, who was a three-time first-team All-American at John Hopkins. And he actually played at the same time Gary Gate played at Syracuse, so they played against each other. It's definitely going to be interesting. I think that, I don't know, I just kind of, I look at it like the writing's on the wall for that flip. But again, not guaranteed, but to have that type of coach, I mean, he's John Hopkins' all-time winningest coach, and now he's coming in just to help the defense, and he was a former defenseman. Obviously they're friends, and I'm definitely, that's really, today made me a lot more excited about, you know, going forward, because again, like I said, I will not say that I'm huge on the cross, and I know a lot, but Gary Gate coming from a women's game, I know he played men's, but he's been the coach for women's, and there's a little bit different rules, and I'm not saying that he can't, you know, turn it around, but just to see that he brings another coach on to that's, you know, been at that level to just worry about the defense tells me that
Hall of Fame level coach. I mean, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent coach. And just like that, boom.
Right.
He's putting something pretty masterfully together.
Yeah. And sometimes the smartest people are the people that get smarter people around them. And that just seems to be kind of not, and it's not a slight to Gary Gate whatsoever, but you're talking about a guy who's obviously got way more experience as a head coach in the men's game. And obviously it's going to do nothing but help, especially after this year, seeing the way that our defense played. So today was definitely a big day. And again, if we can end up getting his sons to come and play, then be even better. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But
I saw something else too. According to Desco, Gary Gate has asked him to stay involved in the program at some capacity. So, semi-retired.
Right.
I don't know. Well, what does that entail? I don't know. Maybe recruiting. Who knows? But there would definitely be a spot. I mean, a part of me really, you know, the only coach I really ever remember of Syracuse lacrosse is Desco, obviously, right? So it's like the same thing with. I wish it was the same with football. That would be great, right? But, you know, it was the same with basketball, obviously. But I was like, it was an emotional press conference. I don't usually watch these things, but it was such a big day. And with Gary Gate and Coach Desco, and it's just like such a, you know, the writing, I think, was on the wall. And, I felt bad for Desco. I'm glad that, Gary Gate asked him to stay involved at some capacity. I think that could be huge. Yeah. Whatever that capacity
just even
is.
Even if it's like a mentor, somebody that could be on the sidelines for advice, someone to be there to, because he's been through a lot, you know, and obviously the coach he brought in too. So have those type of coaches, you know, the battles they had and everything to be right there on your side. I mean, again, a lot of times, I mean, it's kind of life, right? It's all about kind of the people you surround yourself with. And I'd say that, yeah, Gary Gate has definitely done a great job with that.
Yeah, and he stuck around. Obviously, he could have, like you said, Joe, he could have went anywhere else for the women's game, or he could have been I'm sure he could have been a men's coach somewhere. But he stuck around. I think he was buying his time. He stayed in the program, really built up that women's team and that lacrosse team like tremendously. And I mean, they were went to the championship this year with some key injuries and just fought through a lot. And just, you can tell that he's well respected by his players. And obviously he was a great player and he's a great coach. So we're lucky.
And him staying here. Yeah. And him him staying here that this long, you know, I think it obviously is gained the confidence of the Syracuse fans and obviously being a player and everything. So it was almost like came to a point where it was kind of a no-brainer, right? Seamless transition.
Absolutely. I think it's perfect. And I think it is going to draw the new blood into the sport. I know that, you know, since we've been doing this podcast, I've watched more and more Syracuse lacrosse. And I think this puts a little emphasis on getting the popularity back on the Syracuse lacrosse end of things. You know, I think people are going to be expecting better. I think we are going to be expecting more consistency, and we'll see. And I think it'll happen. I think it's great.
Well, and it's not to say that we haven't been a team to reckon with, you know.
Oh,
it's not,
yeah,
like
we have,
slouches.
But
we're still right there.
It's our biggest drought. It's our biggest Final Four drought since, I mean, we haven't been there since what, 2013, which the last drought that long was like, I believe it was like was it the 80s? I can't remember, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've had a drought like that. And your beer is totally covering the camera. There we go. There we go. All right, moving on. So Coach K, he's going to join the legendary coach Roy Williams after this year. He made it official that he's only going to coach one more year at Duke. Our boy James Zuba kind of lists his accolades here. Began coaching in Army in 1975 before taking the Duke job in 80. Boeheim, just as a reference, became head coach of Syracuse in 76. In that time, Krzyzewski has led Duke to 5 national titles, 12 Final Fours, 97 NCAA tournament wins. He's been named Nansmith Coach of the Year on 3 occasions, won ACC Coach of the Year honors 5 times, and obviously we know about the 3 Olympic golds. So, it is a weird day in college basketball, I feel. And I don't know what to attribute it to. When I first heard about the Krzyzewski retirement, first of all, I was like, I got to be honest, I cheered a little bit. I thought that was, I think that bodes well for us. I mean, but look, I respect the guy. I mean, that doesn't mean I want him around forever. I want, obviously, my coach to catch up to his wins, first of all, and we can reinstate those 101. But, of course, I'm not.
That'd be nice.
Don't you think? So, to my point, though, the first thing I thought of was the way that the game has changed. And the only way, the first way I think to put it is, you know, Krzyzewski has got one shot every year to win a championship. And then he gets his turnover. You know what I mean? Right. It's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. It's got to be kind of annoying. You know, the one and done thing, not being able to just go right from high school to pro, I think it puts a damper on some of those blue chip schools. And I don't know if both of those, Roy Williams and Krzyzewski, if they have anything to do with that. But I mean, I don't know. What'd you think? We talked earlier, you brought up something else, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think the game's about to change anyway because we have these leagues, and I think there's going to be more options for a lot of these younger kids from high school to do something to make some money versus have to go to school. So I think that's going to change anyway. But, it was obviously a sad day. You like to see Coach K out there. You like to see it, and it's going to be different because obviously they have John Shire as the coach in waiting, younger kid.
Former player.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, talk to your brother, and if Jeff Capel would have stayed there instead of taking the Pittsburgh job, it probably might have been him, you know.
Yeah.
And some people say, what about Greg Paul? I mean, I don't know, but either way, he's obviously done enough to show Coach K that he's going to be a good successor, and I don't want to speak for Duke fans, but I just think that might be a situation where. It's the way that they recruit and kind of play might change a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to get the 5 stars and this and that, but I just think there's going to be a lot more kids taking these other options that are going to be available eventually. And yeah, I know I talked to your brother and he wants to kind of go back to guys being there a couple of years, you know, build teams.
I mean, absolutely. You know? I think it's become, quite honestly, it's been an S show, man. I think,
even with us, I mean, we normally don't get the one and dones and everything.
Yeah, I'm talking about the NCAA period.
Period. Yeah. It's just for everybody. Basketball. It's just ugly.
It's
so
ugly.
Easy to just say, okay, I don't want to, you know, this team isn't going to give me the starting job, so I'm going to go somewhere else. It's going to, but like,
not only that, but so, just the one and done stuff where you just, it's not team oriented anymore. I just don't, it's so different than the way it was back in the day. And I mean, you don't even need to go back that far, man. I mean, the late 90s, you know, even for Syracuse, we always had the 4-year players. I mean, not, you know, 3-4 years, but, it's just too bad the way that it's changed. I think it's changed for the worse. I think the NBA, creating their rules for criteria of getting into their league. I think it's really has intentional negative consequences on the NCAA game. We're doing a lot of the, you know, talking about how much money the NCAA is making on the backs of these kids, calling them amateur players. I think something needs to be done there. There's just a lot of murky waters with NCAA basketball right now that need to be cleared up.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I remember the days when the one and dones, they came in and they played hard as hell to prove that they were the best guys, and it was difficult for them to leave. You know what I mean? There's been some guys that could have been one and dones that stayed for 2 years because they wanted to give that one last try with, I mean, that's what it used to be like. That's what Duke and some of those players used to be like. A lot of those guys, Carlos Boozer, Gene Batty, they probably could have won a year ahead, but instead they stayed.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen anymore. You know,
what do you think about, you brought this up, can I say, the Zion Williamson investigation? It does not look good. It doesn't look good.
No.
And it should get more attention, in my opinion. And the reason it doesn't is because this is the last thing the NCAA needs is the Coach K, the too big to fail, being under the microscope in some kind of, whether directly or indirectly, knowing or not knowing, some kind of, because a lot of these allegations are really bad. And it came about because he was opting out of a 5-year contract with Gina Ford. And this is from... Oh, come on. Give me a website. Golf Digest of all places. But it does give a good breakdown. But he was opting out of a 5-year contract with the marketing agent, Gina Ford. She represented him through Prime Sports. And it's just getting a lot of murky waters about they're seeking $100 million in damages for breach of contract. A new filing by Ford in Prime Sports is asking Zion to admit the following. Zion's mother and stepfather got money from people acting on behalf of Duke and Nike to attend Duke. They demanded the same from Adidas. An actual NCAA certified agent gave the benefits on multiple occasions between 2014 and 19. This money has been tracked. A lot of this money has been tracked. And it does not look good, but yet we don't hear anything about it because it's Duke. And I think that's an... what do you mean? Well, what?
It's also the temperature of the culture.
Well,
right,
that's true.
There's a lot of it. This is the last thing the NCAA wants. The media, right?
What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying that the media, they're just very slow to report on stuff like this.
That's true.
That's all.
But there is a lot. I mean, you can go to this Golf Digest article, and there's a lot in here, some good stuff. Nike representatives openly texted about paying him $35,000 to play in their summer league to, quote, cripple Adidas. So here's my point. And it's back to the point that I was making originally, and that is that how dirty and grimy this game has become. And when a lot of times you look at teams like Syracuse, oh, they can't recruit. Well, no wonder. I mean, if they're doing it with their heads above the water, I mean, it's not going to be easy. You're not going to get those recruits. So if everything's on the up and up, you're two steps behind. Not to mention, you're just not a blue chip school. And so when we talk about recruiting, well, this is a huge problem in recruiting, is that these advantages and this sneaky, grimy stuff that goes on between agents, sneaker companies, and the families.
Right. And football regionally hurts us. And yeah, that's
Okay.
I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of other things.
I know it's a lot, but I think that is a good reason for a 76-year-old Krzyzewski, who's proven he's one of the best coaches ever with 5 championships, to get out of it and give it one more shot. That's a good reason. Is that his reason? I have no idea. But if I'm him, that's a good reason in and of itself.
Well, because in this situation, like we've learned with Jim Boeheim, unbeknownst to you or, you know, I mean, other people can completely ruin you without you even knowing.
Absolutely.
And it's all on you. That's the way the system's set up in the NCAA.
Yeah. So were these agents in these sneaker companies going after Zion? Did they have anything? Does Krzyzewski necessarily know about any of this? Absolutely not. He might not have a single damn clue.
And don't get me wrong, too. I mean, a lot of people did a lot of soul searching and a lot of, you know, realization of life and during this COVID time, to the point where, like, maybe situation where he really did just.
Well, to be fair, he said it was a family decision, right?
That's what he said, right? So he wanted to spend more time with his family. And,
yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people have kind of come to the conclusion of during this COVID period, right? I mean, some people have looked at.
That's why we stopped doing so many podcasts.
Yeah.
We're potted out.
Possibly.
We potted ourselves.
No, not only that. I mean, you know. When stuff like this happens, sometimes people just kind of feel like they take things for granted and see a different, you know, life a different way. And
I don't think he dealt. No, I mean, it's me being just observing in general. I don't think he dealt with the COVID stuff well.
No, I don't think so either.
So, I mean, I don't know, you know, which, you know, whatever. He's at that age where it's not good for him if he gets it. So, I mean, I think he maybe had a realization there, like, you know, this is just I'm out of the age group of this, and that, to, you know, these, let's give someone else a shot. But anyways, all right. So real quick, and then I want to transition into some football stuff. John Bolajac, he announced that he's going to take his name out of the transfer portal and return back to Syracuse. This is some more old news. This is all old news, which is, if it's boring you by this point, I'm sorry. but we haven't talked about it, so we're talking about it, and we apologize. But so now, with the amount of players in the transfer portal, to me, it's not surprising that John Bolajac didn't, and I don't know if this is it, but it didn't get picked up or didn't get good enough offers with, you know, I think he played 10 games for a total of 51 minutes, 4 rebounds and 2 points. Okay. Right. Tough to get in the transfer portal with that many people and get picked up by some successful school or decent school that wants to give you the minutes. Right. So I don't know if that was it. Test the waters. That's fine. But it's not a knock. I'm just saying. So he tested the waters. They were a bit cold, but I'm happy to see him come back, because here we are. Now, look, we've had problems at center, and now it seems like, well, damn, the front court is looking solid now. So if we do have an issue, it seems like now we have a couple options. Whereas last year we had Marek. That's it, pretty much, until the end of the year when Jesse stepped up.
Right. Well, we won't know who the options are, obviously. Just, I mean, a lot of them were freshmen or first year. And obviously Jesse Edwards, with the weird offseason he had with trying to get back and be in quarantine in his country and everything. I think that kind of hurt his development. And honestly, I kind of see a big jump with Jesse Edwards. And I mean, I hope Rama can play, but this year more than
still skeptical, to be honest, but that's just because.
Yeah, well,
optimistic, history, but skeptical. Right? Yeah. Right.
Right, exactly. But, you know, this year, more than other recent years, I'm not as worried about it, because I think that Jesse Edwards could start for us without Barami even being there, and I think we'd be okay. And, you know, with Frank Anselm and John Bolajac having another year, you know, this is going to be John Bolajac's third year on campus. So. It's going to be a situation where we're going to have hopefully depth, but, you know, just because you're here an extra year doesn't guarantee success or growth, but all you can really do is hope. And again, it gives us options, because I know a little while ago they were talking about John Bolajac transferring, and if Barama can't play, we have Jesse and then Frank Anselm, and there were some people questioning whether Frank was going to transfer. So At least, like you said, we have options now if Barama can't hold up, if his knee can't hold up. So
right. So anyways, worth noting that it's going to be, obviously, the front court's going to be something to keep an eye on. That's the first thing that I'll be looking out for, because obviously the past couple of years has been our weak spot. So hopefully, yeah, like you said, I think everybody's expecting, not just you or me, but I think a lot of people are expecting Jesse Edwards to really make strides in the offseason to come back and maybe fill out and just be a monster. Because he was just doing, I mean, you know, he was doing great towards the end of the year. The year before that, the 2019 year, or wait, the 2019-2020 year, Sidibe was on fire. So we don't know what we're going to get. It's still a mixed bag right now because these guys proved themselves late in the season, and then obviously we don't know what we're going to get. So, okay, with that said, let's transition into some football stuff. But
delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Before we do, and we've got a bunch of football stuff to talk about, I don't know if Joe wants to get into the college football playoff deal or not, but if we've got time, we'll get into that. So, and we're going to talk about Willie Tyler and some the anonymous coaches that that we hear from every year, which doesn't bother me one bit. I think it's fine. But first, locker room app. I'm going to make this short and quick. We talk about this. Download the app. All you need is an email address and a name. You want to find us. It's Sean space Cuse Militia. Go there. You can follow us. And when we do our shows after the games, our post-game shows, then we will open it up for you. And you can actually request to speak. And we can get you on. And we can talk. And everybody can hear everybody. And it's fantastic. And it's just a good way, a good solid way for us to talk to you without any phone numbers or anything like that. It's an app on your phone. You go to it. Boom, it's right there. It's also been bought out by Spotify. They're going to be relaunching the app and rebranding all of that soon. So you know it's legit if it's from Spotify, right?
So, and what's great about that too, Sean, is that that helps us with our post games.
That's right.
We can have a post game show right after games.
And we can. And we can just take we can take that and just integrate it right into the podcast that we normally do within 24 hours after the game's played, something like that. So anyways,
live fan feedback.
It's always fun to do, but it's always been a hassle. Locker Room makes it easy, and we appreciate them for that. So Locker Room, go download it, iOS and Android. Okay. So, in fact, let's see. All right. What do we got? Let's see. Willie Tyler, Joe, he said he's decided to part ways with Syracuse. He announced this past Friday. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who came in and you felt like he was going to be able to shore up the offensive line. And we've had problems there, obviously. He also he also didn't, he didn't play a snap at Texas where he came from and opted out of the 2020 season and was supposed to be starting up with Syracuse, is not going to play a snap for Syracuse. Didn't say what he was doing. I haven't heard any news if he's entering the transfer portal or anything. We have no idea, but, you know, wish him luck. I don't know what he's going to do, but a little bit surprised. I was kind of big on Willie Tyler. Huge guy. Huge guy. Was he like 6'7", 332 or something like that? Something ridiculous. He's massive.
Big boy.
Yeah. But, Joe, next man up. I feel comfortable with what's coming in and what we've got going on, and we can rattle off some names here if you want. But what'd you think, just Willie Tyler in general, leaving the program?
Again, I think – a lot of times I make a little bit bigger deal about stuff like this, but kind of this time around, I kind of feel the same way you normally do. Like, he was never here.
Right.
Didn't play a snap at Texas. Really don't know. I mean, looking at his backstory, he played D lineman or D tackle in high school. And then he went to a community college because he wanted to switch sides to the ball, and he turned into an offensive lineman. And got picked up by Texas, redshirted, and then opted out of the 2020. So he realistically really hasn't shown that he can, in no disrespect, really do anything.
No,
so.
We just know he's a big boy, right? And we don't know. And yes. I think I remember, maybe it was you, I'm not sure, but I do remember either talking with you or on the podcast, somewhere along the line, saying, you know, I am a little bit skeptical. This guy hasn't played a snap. And I would like to see there's no bar. We don't know what his floor, what his ceiling is. We just knew he's a big boy and we were having trouble on the offensive line, period.
Right. Well, and we have, right? But everybody came back from last year. I expect, you know, all the young guys to get a little better. I expect Servais to completely, you know, it's his last chance. He got an extra year. You know what I mean? So
doesn't this put him in more of in a situation like if Willie is there? I mean, maybe there's a situation where it still works, but Service moves back to center where he was. Although, you know, he had his issues there too. And in fact, he struggled last year, Service.
Right. Well, I mean, as a sophomore, he played great and there was a lot of, you know, but I mean, you never really know what's going on. And, he's still been good, and he's coming back, and he's. I think it's going to be a redemption season for him. I think adding Chris Blyke, who probably should have been able to play last year, to the fold, I think is going to help. And I think, I mean, Bergeron showed great strides last year, and I think he's only going to get better. So, I mean, we had a really young offensive line on top of the fact that we're bringing in like 6 or 7 freshmen.
Enrique Cruz was a huge recruit. Was our best recruit in recent history. You know, right? 4-star, wasn't he the 4-star?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, I just know that. Like again, we just have a lot of guys there. We have a lot of options, and you know, I just see all these. And again, I think this is just proof of how slow and why we haven't done a podcast in 3 weeks. Right? I mean, you look at this Syracuse news on. You know, Orange Fizz, Noons, Inside the Loud House, Syracuse.com, anybody, Mike McAllister. And I'm not shaming any of them, but it's just the news is so slow. It's like we're grasping on to anything and everything. And there's some people that are talking about, you know, are we going to be able to survive? I mean, I love Orange Fizz, but can SU's offensive line survive without Willie Tyler? Is like the head of the, and he hasn't played a Division I snap. And we have our whole offensive line coming back from last year, plus Chris Blyke and a couple of, you know, 6-7 other recruits coming in. Whoever we had freshmen or behind, you never know who's going to make those strides and those steps in the offseason in a legit, you know, spring and everything like that. So even when we got Willie Tyler, I really wasn't, like relying on him. So
Vetterello, another big name coming back too, right? I mean, he was crucial last year.
Right. So, I mean, when you look at Bergeron and Vetterello – and Blyke and Servais, you're talking about 4 solid guys, I think, that can make up a decent unit. And I think we still got Darius Tisdale that came back as well, who started some games last year. And with all the young guys, you really never know, you know, until you get to summer camp and you get people on campus and you play. You just line up, suit up, and see what happens. So
a ton of new guys.
Yeah, and we got a new offensive lineman coach. Again, there's going to be competition there, and the cream will rise to the top. And I think we already are starting with four pretty good ones. So really, I think we'll be all right.
I think we'll be fine too. I mean, of course, we want to put the, you know, what does the Willie Tyler leaving mean for Syracuse? I mean, to me, like you said, Joe, this is my position most of the time anyway, no matter what, but not a whole lot. I mean, I have no idea, actually. Because
right.
I know it's not going to be any worse because we've got some solid guys coming back. We got some reinforcements coming in and some really good recruits in, like I said, Enrique Cruz and Tyler Magnuson. There was I would go down this road. Cahy, Austin Cahy or whatever. There's a bunch of them. Anyways.
Right.
I won't start down that.
Well, okay. I just can't. It's one of those things where I'm not trying to down the kid.
No, but I mean, let's be realistic.
Like he could go on to another school and he could end up being an NFL player, but I'm not going to sit here and eat crow because I'm not going to play Captain Hindsight here. I mean, we have to look at what we have on the table right now. And what we have on the table is crumbs. We don't know what those crumbs create.
We have
create,
no idea.
Right?
So until I like we that, see that. Joe. That's a solid podcast moment for Joe right there. I like that. Captain Hindsight. I love it. I think that's the smartest thing you ever came up with, actually. The whole string of sentences.
Well, thank you.
It's not saying much, but so look. There he is. Come on, bro. Come on. Can we get through an episode? For crying out loud.
You're baiting me, bro. You're baiting me.
So anyways, with that said, you know, what is this? Athlon Sports or whatever, they do their preview issue and they basically bait all these anonymous coaches into saying horrible things about other coaches and programs within the division or whatever, right? And it's all anonymous, which is good. Like, I think it's good. Like, I don't mind it. I really don't. Like, if I'm a coach or whatever, and there's all sorts of anonymous, like, digs on me, I think it would be entertaining to some, you know,
extent.
Degree. Yeah.
That same reason is why you can't really take them seriously.
Exactly. Time. But on the other side of that, too, but just to play devil's advocate with that, that is why you can take them seriously, because some of this stuff would never be said because there is a modicum of respect between
but
coaches.
It's not fact, it's opinion.
It's totally opinion, but this is the scouting the orange tidbits that Orange Fizz put together. I don't know if anybody else did, but I saw it at Orange Fizz. Maybe it's not popular with anybody else, and you can get mad about it, but there's some things in here that I think are legit and unfortunately are true. If you had to pick one program that falls apart this year, it's probably here or Duke, speaking of here being Syracuse. Right now, it's a train wreck, at least externally, opposing coach. I mean,
at least externally, so from the outside, so that means he has no idea what's going on inside.
Right, but you externally is us, right? Did it look like a train wreck last year? What?
Let's be perfectly honest here, right?
Okay, so, yeah,
Chris Blake. Chris Blake, who was good enough to start at Florida.
We playing Captain Hindsight or Captain.
Yep. Now I'm playing Captain Hindsight, and Garrett Schrader.
Boy, how quickly that changed. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I hear you, bro.
Because they're here. So
sure.
They're here. They're playing with us. They transfer from the SEC, in which they both have proven that they can play. And Garrett Schrader, for what he did as a true freshman, was pretty impressive, and
looking forward Chris to Garrett Schrader very much.
And that's what I'm saying. So externally, that's that whole externally type thing, right? But internally, we don't know what's going to happen because literally two SEC guys, if they live up their potential of something that they've proven way more than Willie Tyler and they have on tape, those guys could push us. I mean, they could make us a way better team than what people possibly think. But I'm not going to still sit here and say that DeVito can't do something if he's created a better offensive line and a better pocket. And there's other things that go along with that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't want to go too much into it. So we'll hit up some of that later on, but that whole way that we Orange is the New Fast and all that stuff, I think is going to have to change too.
Well, that's this one here. Dino has a lot of respect in our league. It's just that the era of go real fast and throw verts has sort of run its course, compounded by the fact other teams in this league run that system better with better players. Okay, look, that's absolutely true. They abandoned They abandoned that last year, and we were. I mean, I'm not like Captain Psychic or Captain whatever.
But you got to be a captain.
But hey, because I'm driving the ship. So, but we were saying, you know, the fast paced offense is not working. It's not good for DeVito. It's putting him in bad situations. It's bad all around. Let's slow it down. We're giving the ball. Yeah, we're giving the ball back way too fast. It's killing the defense. Like, obviously, you build around what you got, and they just don't have it. Maybe they have it now. I don't know. We'll have to see. But they didn't. Right.
Well, I mean, that's a fair assessment because again, it comes down to the talent. If you're trying to run a system and the team that you're playing against has better talent and better athletes than you, then it's pretty hard to run that system. So, again, this is one of those things where this kind of offense was seemed to be a little gimmicky unless you could pull it off like teams like Baylor and teams like Oregon who could recruit these athletes that could be better than these other teams' athletes.
I think the idea is good. I think opposing coach is saying, anonymous opposing coach is saying, is just it's outplayed. I think a little bit, and to their point, the level of athlete, obviously, just last year in general, it wasn't there. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, and let's be honest too. I mean, all this expectation from him came from one season with a warrior like Eric Dungy. With all of the running back options they had, right? With all the receiver options they had. I mean, they had Tristan Jackson in the bowl game, right? But before that, they had Steve Ishmael and they had Irv Phillips all year. Mo Neal, Abdul Adams played in the bowl game, but Jarvion Howard.
Yeah, that was like his game. Played well. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we also had, what was it? Frederick. Right?
Why do I want to say Allen? Frederick. It's not. I know what you're talking about.
Sorry, Strickland. Dante Strickland as running back. We had him and we had Mo Neal. And we just had, you know, really, really a lot of fringe type of specialty athletes. Like I said, I mean, Dante Strickland, he made it to a training camp. Ishmael and Irv Phillips have had little small stints in the NFL. So, he had those guys on top of Eric Dungy, who is out on a team right now as well, competing for a spot. So that was a little bit different than what we have now. And when you look at, you know, sans Taj Harris, I mean, we got a couple good running backs, but DeVito hasn't proven to be the same guy as Dungy, and our offensive line isn't as good as it was when we had Dungy. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see, but I just don't see. We have to be able to change with it. And after DeVito got hurt last year, you saw him change with it. And hopefully this year you can start off kind of like that. I think you have a stall. You have a stall of running backs.
Yeah, big time. And I don't see a repeat of last year. It's going to be night and day. We were putting Band-Aids, or coach was putting Band-Aids on everything everywhere the whole season. It was a disaster. Externally, it was a train wreck. All of those things are true, but look at what we were dealing with. And obviously some teams did better than others, but conditioning. Maybe that's why everything is so hush right now.
Dude, we had a fullback playing guard.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I mean, let's be serious here.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
We had all our NFL players got hurt in the secondary, and those guys only got
some
better.
Some opted to
linebackers
leave.
Linebackers are young. I mean, all those guys are young.
Right.
I mean, Melifuanu was really the only one that played the whole year that, you know, ended up going on to the NFL and played really good. But with Garrett Williams, all these young guys coming back with all that experience, those linebackers,
Garrett
Mikel
Williams
Jones,
gonna be a stud too. So
right. Plus, you have all those six 6 year senior type, you know, on the defensive line. I don't see next year being the same as last year.
No,
I just don't.
But opposing coach might. I don't see things getting much better for them because the offensive scheme is really the identity, and recruiting to when you're up in recruiting too. Let's try it in English, Joe. What do you say? What do you say? It's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't see things getting much better. Do you need a
teleprompter, Biden?
Really? Come on, man.
It's not funny. It's
not Joe. Okay. It's unnecessary.
All right, Sleepy Sean.
And uncalled for. Okay. You disloyal idiot. I don't see things getting much better for them because the offensive scheme is really the identity, and recruiting to it when you're up in Central New York just isn't going to work. So, like, to your point, Joe, here's a couple more, and then we want to talk. Oh, some of these are long. So they came out with some more. The offensive line is probably the worst in the league, maybe worse than Georgia Tech's 2 years after the triple option.
Wow.
You don't have to blitz to get home on them, so you don't really have to disguise much of what you're doing. Opposing coach.
Yeah, I hope that's Clemson.
Yeah. They struggle up front on defense. That's where you notice the lack of talent compared to the top half of the teams in the league. I think their situation is a lot like Duke's success a few years ago. It's possible to have one or two really good years if the division is down. They're on Clemson's side, but I think they feasted on programs dealing with their own down years, and now that's not the case. Boston College is better. NC State is better. It would be surprising if they were able to make another run. I mean, well, hold. Time will tell, right? That's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these comments should be none other than fuel for the coach and the players, because everybody's reading
Absolutely.
Them. And, you know, take it and use it to your advantage. That's all I can say about that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The proposed playoff, Joe. Now, I was just asking for 8. I just wanted a simple 8. But 12, I like even better. Okay? I don't see a downside to this. I'm sure you're pretty negative, so you could probably throw one at me. But
I had a few.
Do you? Okay. Well, I'm interested to see. Just because I think, look, every college sport, the major college sports, have some kind of playoff or tournament to them. Lengthy ones. Decent ones. Okay? Exciting ones. The college football playoff thing with the 4 teams has added a lot, in my opinion. I love it. I think 4, I would have been satisfied with 4 to keep going, by the way. I'm not, 8 would have been good. 12 is proposed. We'll see what happens. I'm assuming the top 4 teams get a bye, right? Then you do your, I guess you would do maybe, the 6. And then from there, it's on to money time. But what do you think, Joe? What do you think? You don't like the 12? Does it put too much emphasis on just getting to the playoffs? Is it wonky because of schedules? Is it going to be difficult because of strength of schedule? Is there too many teams in too many different just
there's a lot of
parts.
Variables, Sean.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about the fact of how many automatic footprints are going to be in there.
Right. Well, you've got all.
I mean, are we
going to
give the AAC
champions
automatic footprints? Are we going to give the Mountain West automatic footprints? Like, what type of? Because you have to assume that they're still going to have the conference championship games. So you have to assume the winner of the championships of these at least Power 5 conferences are automatically in.
Well, that's what you would do. You would have to do the Power 5s.
But I guess my whole thing is it comes down to how many other automatics or guarantees are there? How many are they going to guarantee a 2 or 3 or a certain number of non-Power 5 teams?
Well, maybe
there's still a lot.
Okay.
That
I understand.
Goes into that, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of one thing where I look at that too. And really the biggest thing for me is I just look at it as an NCAA money grab. If they go from 4 to 12.
Well, hold on. Isn't it always?
But that's, dude, you go from, they were complaining. They barely, you know how long it took for them to get 4?
Yeah, like a
decade.
And now
all of a sudden they're just going to jump to 12 after a pandemic year?
Yeah, right.
So my whole thing is, and I guess my worry about this whole situation is that money is going to trump possibly having the best team being able to win the tournament.
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, that remains to be seen.
That's a worry.
You talk about having to win three games, possibly what? You're talking about 12, so the first four are going to get byes, right?
Yeah, first four will get byes.
So it's going to go to from
and then you do your New Year's six, right?
To four, to two, four games,
yeah,
possibly to win.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're the best team, you're top four, three, but still three games. So how much time are you going to give in between that? Is just a week? Just a week in between?
Well, I mean, yeah, probably.
What happens if you have certain injuries that happen?
Okay, well, hold on. You're going too fast. You could do it like the NFL does, and where it's a week, 2 weeks for the championship game. I think that's legit. Yep. They do that now anyway, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
They do a game. They do the semi 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to do 2 weeks before, in between every single round?
No, you wouldn't do it in between every single round. You'd do it in between the final four in the championship. Yeah. The final four. Right.
Yeah. But either way, you're asking the best team, you're adding games onto a schedule and asking these teams to play two games, three games in a row in a week against some of the best competition. I mean, it's going to be great for viewers and be great for money, but it's not going. I think that it's going to. It's tough. It's going to be one of those things where, like, more or less, like the deeper team might possibly win versus possibly the best team. I mean, you're forcing these players to play more games, which, yeah, in the NFL, you're going to. But I mean, I think that I would much rather see it go from four to eight.
Well, that's where I was at. Eight with no buys, and you guys just play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no matter how many teams you add, there's always going to be a team that thinks they get left out, right?
Of course, but that's the nature of college sports because there's so many damn teams. You're talking about 12 teams out of 301 or whatever if you want to go right. D1. I mean, you're never going to make anybody. I mean, you deal the same thing every year in college basketball.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying it's just one of those things where it's ridiculous. Well, where it took this long to get four teams, and you know.
Well, let me ask you.
Prior seasons, it's like, oh, it's teams that are 5 and 6, they feel like they got gypped. Now you're talking about 5 or 6 felt like they got gypped in that situation. If you're 13, you're not even thinking about it, right? You're just like, oh, what bowl are we going to? Now all of a sudden, you're just going to snap a finger and you're number 13, and you're pissed because you didn't make the college football playoffs, like. It's hard for me to, it's hard. That's a big jump.
The only thing I can think of
is marketing and money.
Well, we know that. We know that. Anything the NCAA does is because of money. They're even though they're a nonprofit.
Right. So it's hard. Yeah, exactly. So it's hard for me because I'm at this like divide of like.
You want the entertainment.
Do I want the entertainment? Or do I want to know that with that entertainment comes at the expense of these kids that could possibly get injured and ruin the draft stock and not make a penny?
Well, I mean, that's a fair concern. That's why I think eight makes more sense. First of all, I'd be happy with four. I love 12 for entertainment purposes. And, you know, I think it's the things that I was rattling off in the beginning are the most murky and probably kind of biggest questions I have. Like, how do you make it? How do you get 12 teams in? How do you pick 12 teams out of all of those? I mean, basketball's a little easier, I think.
You know, there's going to be automatic qualifiers, you know?
Yeah, there has to be, right? And it has to be the first four in, right? So
no, it would be conference championships.
Well, that's right.
Conference champions,
right,
which is right. There's five of them. And that's
right.
The biggest
so four
right
are going to get
the
by.
Biggest problem right now, that's the biggest problem right now is that you have five Power Five conferences, and then Notre Dame and the Independent. So someone's getting screwed.
Well, Notre Dame's got to pick.
Is what they think, right?
Notre Dame's got to pick what they want to do.
I think that's what you get done. I think that's what you do. You go to eight, you turn five automatic bids, and then you do the top non-Power Five conference team, and then the next two are the top next best teams, and then you go from there. But to go to 12, oh, God.
Oh, here you go. Hold on. I just found something. First round game. Here you go, Joe. This answers a question for you. First round games would take place on campus sometimes. So you get a home game sometime during the, well, someone does, during the 2 week period after conference championship games. Quarterfinals will be played on January 1st and or 2nd when the New Year's Day falls on a Sunday and on an adjacent day. Semifinals and championship game dates are to be determined. So likely there, that's the question. How much time do we give in between? And, you know, and obviously, if this is being talked about and written about to this extent, this is, I mean,
things I'm thinking about for sure.
These things don't just leak out of nowhere. No. You know what I'm saying? So all 11 games would be under CFP umbrella, which and blah, blah, blah. The brackets would remain effective through the playoffs. The playoff bracket would follow the rankings with no modifications made to avoid rematches of teams that may have played during the regular season or from the same conference. So what that tells me is they're going for the top 12 teams. The first, I don't know how they determine the buys, but maybe the top four at the end of the year get buys, right? So, I mean, as far as fairness goes, and with no real like analytics and things like the college basketball has in place to really track that stuff and be able to give you kind of a quantitative like number is something tangible. Maybe that's how you do it. So I guess I should.
Well, if they're going to ask them to do that, then they got to get that name and likeness stuff right.
Oh well, that's got to be a thing. I mean, that's another thing. Talk about dragging their feet and being ridiculous. You know, I just think that it's time. I don't know how you do it. I've always been on the side of. If you're a marketable person, you can market your name. You market your name. You make your money however you want. You want to sign autographs and put them on eBay. You want to go to, you know, Billy Fusillo. Is he still a thing? You want to go down there and sell some cars or sign some autographs on a weekend? Then so be it. I mean, however you want to do it that way. I just don't think the school's paying. There's a lot of schools that aren't going to be able to do that, and I don't think it's a legit way or fair to the school. To other schools, because there's some deep pockets out there, as we've seen.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's a fair way to go. But to be able to market yourself, sell your name and likeness to EA Sports for a college football, basketball game, whatever, that's the way you do it.
Or sign an autograph.
Right. That's what I said. Sign an autograph or whatever. However, best players are going to make the most money. It's on meritocracy. That's how it goes.
It's capitalism.
It's capitalism, period. So, and I don't have a problem with you doing it like that. No money comes out of the NCAA pocket and no money comes out of the school's pocket. It seems perfectly.
Seems pretty clean to me.
Legit. And, you know, maybe some shady stuff happens, but whatever. This is, you know, they should be able to. That's freedom. A little bit of freedom, a little bit of liberty to do what you can do to make your own money should be allowed. So, all right, yep. Joe. Is that it?
I think that's it, bud.
I think that's it, too. Okay. Well, thank you. Locker room.
It's been fun.
It's been fun. It was nice to be back. Really appreciate everybody who stayed with us this long and who's listening now. We love you guys, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, locker room. Thanks again to all of you for hanging out with us. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.